And welcome to Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtis with you, along with the 15-year Pro Bowl long snapper of the Kansas City Chiefs, New Orleans Saints, and Pittsburgh Steelers, Kendall Gammon. It's Raiders week. It's also Brady week. Your thoughts, because Monday the news cycle began with Romeo Crennel announcing that Brady Quinn will be the quarterback against the Oakland Raiders. Your thoughts?
You know what, that's interesting. He talked about it, kind of shook things up a little bit. He talked about sending a message, and you know, it does send a message because it lets you know that if things aren't going that way, I guess the best way to put it is when you move a QB out of there and you bring a second QB in, I mean, that's the position that everything revolves around, and if the QB can be changed, then anything can be changed. Time will tell. I think Brady deserved some more chances. I mean, you're rusty when you haven't played for 3 years, really, in terms of starting a game. So it will be interesting to see how he does this week after a bye week, getting some rest and being able to see what he did against Tampa Bay and try to correct those mistakes and go from there. But you know what? It's got to work because the Chiefs got to get things going. It's crazy to say, but at 1-5, you still have a chance to do things. The Chiefs are not playing for pride right now. They're still playing for a division title. And as crazy as that sounds at 1-5, it's the
it's
truth.
Right there. No, I'm with
when
you.
The leader's at 3-3, Mitch, you're still playing for something.
Well, it's Raiders week, it's Brady week, and it's also J-Wig week, which means just win a game. You saw the division standings, only two games out of first. No, the Chiefs haven't had a lead yet, but that can all change this week. Now, what's also interesting, before we hear from Romeo Crennel when he made the announcement yesterday, let's go back to a week ago. Scott Pioli was on KCChiefs.com. He was also on a various media outlets throughout the Chiefs' kingdom. And he said the decision about the quarterback position will be Romeo's decision. If there was something that was loud and clear yesterday about this move, it was that decision came from the head coach.
You're right. We'll hear it here in a little bit, but he talks about it. I made this decision. This is what I decided to do, and this is going to send a message to the team. We'll hear it more in detail here. But, it's a big thing, and you hope it gets that spark that's needed right now with the Chiefs.
Romeo Crennel thinks it's the best thing to do to play Brady Quinn at quarterback. He made these statements yesterday.
During my evaluation and trying to impact the team, I kind of felt like that probably the most impactful move that I could make to get everybody's attention was to change the quarterback. And so I'm changing the quarterback, and Brady Quinn will be the starter, and Matt will be a backup. My biggest deal was my gut and telling me that I needed to impact the team by changing the dynamic, by having a different dynamic. And Brady Quinn is the guy that I want to go with. I thought in the Tampa game, he showed some poise. He ran the offense. He was a little rusty, but I think with time and reps and play time, he should improve and get better as we go down the road.
Is this quarterback decision for this week, or is this for the rest of the season in your mind?
What I want him to be is I want him to be the starting quarterback without having to look over his shoulder. So there's going to be no quick hook or anything like that.
Okay, this is a leadership decision by Romeo Crennel. First of all, he did it at the beginning of the week, so there wasn't discussion Monday, today, going into Wednesday practice. Was it going to be split reps? Or are you back in some kind of preseason mode? What about the leadership decision by Romeo Crennel, how he announced it, when he announced it, to try to give this team a chance to win?
Well, Mitch, you're exactly right. That's the big thing. He announced it right off, so you don't have questions going on throughout the week. You don't want to be splitting time. Whoever's going to lead you, whoever's going to be the QB, you want that announced at the first of the week so the guys can get behind him and they can go after it. Is it an impactful move? Yeah, I would say it's a pretty impactful move. It lets guys know that, you know what, you've got to get your stuff together and it's time to go play. So it will be interesting. I'm looking forward to see how he does. And one other thing that I really took out of that interview also with Romeo was the fact of, okay, it's not a quick hook. We're going to see how he does. We're going to give him some time. I think that's important as a QB to know that going in there, I mean, you've got enough pressure anyhow as a QB in the NFL to know that you're not going to get hooked just because something goes wrong on the first play of the game or the first play of a drive, to know that you've got a chance to go in and show what you can do.
And I think the rest of the team needs to know that, which they came out loud and clear to know that Brady Quinn is the guy moving in. Now, I tweeted this out last night. Brady's looking for back-to-back wins at Arrowhead Stadium. It's just been 1,042 days since he had the last one in 09. Now, what does Brady Quinn bring to the table to try to beat Oakland?
Well, you know what? I think he's got a quick release. I think that's a big thing. His feet can beat you. If there's something that's not there, if he doesn't see somebody downfield that it's comfortable with, he can take off and run and get some positive yardage. We talked about it last week going into Tampa. If you get 5 or 7 yards just on a broken play in terms of running the ball as a QB, that's gold if you can get to second and short. But I think he does a good job getting back to his drop. I think he does a good job. It's something that people don't see a lot in terms of when he hands the ball off to the running backs. If you can get there quicker and you can get the ball to the back deeper, he has a better chance to scan what's in front of him and do his job. Because let's face it, the Chiefs are a running team, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's going to have to throw the ball, but the running game has to be successful as well, and he can help that also.
Now, one thing that we saw in these highlights, and maybe if Jack and Brebs can re-rack it, we might go back and look at it, the other thing that I noticed, even in the highlights, is the way he was spreading the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Baldwin with the catch.
Right.
You saw Maneri with the catch, Bo with the catch, Eaches with the catch in a play. But you just look at the way the ball gets spread around here. Now, okay, here's a slant to Baldwin. Okay, he comes back with a throw down the rail to Maneri. Then he comes back with a circle play out of the backfield to Eaches. And we saw him throw to Bo in this game. This was what excited me coming out of training camp in St. Joe, was the way that the Kansas City Chiefs spread the ball away. I talk about declaring Trump. You can declare all four suits. And Bo is a weapon for sure, but he
right.
was targeted going into the bye week, second of any receiver in the National Football League. Now I get a sense that maybe Brady is willing to spread the ball around throughout the entire weaponry that he's got.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's a big thing, is you can't key in on one person like you talked about with Bo. You've got to spread the ball around. Like you said, you talked about it in the red zone, because the Chiefs, and you've got the stats in terms of what they're doing inside of the red zone and inside the 30. You've got to use the whole field when it gets compressed down there, and you want to get the ball out to your backs in the flat, give them some room to run. You want to get short comebacks. You want to get all kinds of things to different people. You hope that Brady's getting to his reads. He's getting to his second, third possession progression. You're not always going to get to, but if you can see somewhere and like, okay, that's closed, I'm not going there, okay, I'm going to move over to here, this is what I'm going at, that's what you want as a QB. And really, it inspires confidence, I think, in the receiving corps when they know that, okay, listen, I'm running the route. If I get open, I'm going to get the ball. That's big for a receiver.
And Brady Quinn, you saw, also had two interceptions in the Tampa Bay game, both off deflections, but we mentioned it earlier, need to mention it again, that of the 11 interceptions this year, 7 have been off deflections. They've touched a receiver at some point, so the accuracy needs to be better, but also those receivers need to catch it, secure it, and move on.
Oh, they do. The Maneri one, he had a chance, I believe it was Maneri, had a chance to get that one. It takes a big bounce right there. The big one was McCluster. That's not going to happen again in our lifetime, a ball like that. You see it goes up. I mean, it looks like he picked it up off the ground. He didn't, but all the same, things like that can't happen, but they have been happening. You've got to secure the ball. With that being said, you've got to run the ball to open up the pass.
Brady Quinn yesterday reacted to getting the job, so to speak, and he's ready to try it again.
What was your reaction when you were told?
I mean, look, I'm excited about the opportunity. But I think, especially after coming off last week, we got a lot of work to do. But I'm excited about the opportunity to get in there and play. Oakland's a great team, so we got a lot of stuff to prepare for ahead of us.
So what do you take from Tampa's game prior to the bye week?
Well, I think the one thing is just, again, you know, we got to find a way of just not having any turnovers. I think that's been killing us, especially where it's happening, because a lot of times it's happening in the red zone, so we're not coming away with any points. So that's a big key for us, is just controlling the ball. And the other thing is continuing to sustain drives, whether it's making a play here or there. But having a bye week, sitting back and being able to watch these games over the weekend, you notice that guys are making plays. It's not exactly how they draw it up, but guys are making plays. So we got to put it on ourselves as players to be able to make the most of an opportunity when we're given that.
You know what? I'm a team captain on this team. I care about this team. And again, as we move forward, I'm a big boy. I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to do what I've always done, which is work hard, work tremendously hard. I've said this from day one. We've got a great room, and my role has changed at this point. And I'll support Brady Quinn and get him ready to play. And that's my role as a teammate and as a captain of this team.
Okay, very mature response there from Matt Cassel. This is why you and I have defended
right.
him in the past. He has not played well by his own admission. But you played in this league for 15 years. A question that comes up now is, will this fracture the locker room that Brady Quinn has been announced as a starter? And, you know, to me, it's only fractured depending on how Matt handles it. There's a lot of guys in the locker room, as you and I feel, tremendous respect for Matt Cassel as a person.
Right.
And the fact that he said what he said, either Matt's part of the problem or part of the solution here, and I thought it was a very mature response. Your thoughts?
You know, it really is, and you ask, can it fracture the locker room? It can, but it's not going to in this case, because I think it has to do a lot with how Brady Quinn has acted up to this point as well. I mean, this is a guy that was a number one pick overall with Cleveland. He came in much heralded out of Notre Dame. Things haven't gone his way. He comes over here to Kansas City via Denver, I believe. He's done everything the right way also as a backup QB. It became his time. He's not the one that made that call. That happened because of what went on the field. But now that he's got that chance, he's going after it. And that's what you want out of a team leader. That's the one thing that Matt Cassel, that I thought he said was very, very important, is, you know, I'm captain of this team. It's to help us win, and I'm not going to go in there and do anything that would hurt that chance. He wants to win. That's why you're elected a captain. It's not just because you're the QB. It's because you've got that way about you. And when you talked about it, we have defended Matt, and it's because he's got that way about him. He can do some good things, but right now they're checking Brady. They're going to see what he can do, and Matt's going to give him support. That will help. That'll make all the difference in the world, really.
Yeah, locker rooms get fractured when it's like two presidential candidates trying to get electoral college votes and get swing states. That's when you have a fractured locker room, and you don't get that sense from either one of these guys. All right, now, we said it's Brady week. It's J-Wig week. That means just win a game. Just win this game. And then move on. But it's also Raiders week. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you know this all too well. Great rivalry, but the Kansas City Chiefs have lost to the Oakland Raiders in Arrowhead Stadium for 5 straight years. That has got to stop. And there has been a central theme a little bit to these 5 losses in a row at Arrowhead. The Chiefs have won at the Coliseum a lot most of the time, but they've lost at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, let's just get into the Raiders this year, but let's start with last year's game, because that game was a little bit of a microcosm of what's happened the last 5 years. We'll get into a little bit, but some explosiveness by the Raiders. This is the way they kind of got things going. This is the first half kickoff. This can't happen to the Chiefs this year if they want a chance. But we have seen the Raiders, your thoughts on big special teams plays in the last 5 years at Arrowhead Stadium that have helped them win.
Well, you're right. And the thing is, you can't give them help. Oakland's having a tough time this year with scoring some points and how they're performing offensively. So you do not want to give them help on special teams. They get enough help from Seabass. You need things like this happening where you force a QB to make a throw he doesn't want to make. And, of course, he'll be in here this year. That is Palmer. And you want to give a chance to your offense to now get good field position, do some things. Field position is going to be huge in this game. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but when you've got Seabass and you've got Leckler, that's huge. But, of course, we've got Suckup and we've got Dustin Colquitt, who's playing at a Pro Bowl level. So field position is going to be a big deal, but, again, it's going to be who makes the least amount of mistakes and can hold on to the ball, put some drives together, and not give up big plays to the other team.
Again, Carson Palmer had just a hideous game in Oakland against the Chiefs with those 2 pick sixes, but way different at Arrowhead Stadium. They still have this element. They've shown it the last couple of weeks is they have got some deep threats. They can get behind the defense, and that has been a problem for Kansas City in the past, and then the Chiefs have got to come up with some chunk plays. Kyle Orton played in this game. It's the one game he had 2 picks last year, which hurt Kansas City. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but the Chiefs have got the block up front against this team to allow some time to get downfield. The Chiefs did not get chunk plays in the game against Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers got all of the chunk plays, Saints 2 19-yard pass plays. But there were no Bo, no Baldwin, no Breston chunk plays. And what about the opportunity to try to get some chunks this week against the Raiders?
Well, you said the key thing is the offensive line. They've got to protect Brady Quinn, give him a chance to make some plays. And when you look at the defensive line of the Raiders with Matt Shaughnessy, Tommy Kelly, Richard Seymour, and Philip Wheeler, those guys, those front four, they do a good job getting up the field. Now, they're a little bit too aggressive sometimes, and they just get up the field and don't do a lot. But they put pressure with just 4 people on the rushing the QB, so that makes a difference. They don't bring an extra one very often. If they do, it's some little crazy thing where they'll bring the back from around the side, or they'll do some defensive end tackle twist. But for the most part, they try to get pressure on the QB with those 4 guys, and those are 4 big guys. So they have to, the offensive line for the Chiefs have their work cut out for them this week, not only protecting but really moving the ball run-wise as well.
Heartbreaking play here. This is the first play in overtime last year where Oakland just bookmarks a play, gets a double fake, all kinds of time to throw the deep ball, and then Seabass again breaks Kansas City Chiefs' hearts. I will pay for Seabass's retirement party.
I'll go ahead and do that. Absolutely.
We're going to do that. We can have it wherever Seabass wants it. Florida, Czechoslovakia, wherever he wants to do it, I'm all for it. But he has beaten Kansas City in this 5-game losing streak with a 54-yard field goal in 07, a 56-yard field goal in 08, a 54-yard field goal in 09. Just crazy what Sebastian Janikowski has done against the Chiefs in the past.
Well, and just to cut in quickly, you know, he's 14 of 15 this year, Mitch. His only miss is from 64 yards.
64.
You're okay with your kicker missing from 64 yards, and it was probably wide one way or the other. Probably had the legs. So that's the last thing you want to get into is him having to make a long kick to win the game. You want to take care of it before then.
Also, the Chiefs, to win this game, have got to get some of their defensive mojo back that they lost in the Tampa Bay game. Let's be honest now. Those big plays that Tampa was able to pull off, 62-yard pass, 61-yard pass. They get a 42-yard checkdown throw to the running back. They get a 35-yard run late in the game with LeGarrette Blount. Those games have got to go away. One interesting thing about the Raiders this year, before we go to break, is the fact that they are not getting those chunk runs. Now, they have hurt Kansas City in the past, whether it was McFadden or Michael Bush, who's no longer there. But this year, in runs of 10-plus and 20-plus, they have not had the big chunk run this year.
Well, you're right. And you look at Darren McFadden. He had 19 rushes for 53 yards this last week against Jacksonville. That, I mean, those were tough yards. I watched the game this morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, they're not getting much done up front, and that's got to continue this week. If you can make the Raiders one-dimensional, that's going to help a lot. Now, that being said, they've won some games being one-dimensional in terms of throwing the ball down the field, and that's the one thing that's still carried over from Al Davis and what he believed in is throw the ball downfield and have those big receivers. They've been doing that with some success. And again, you've got the defensive side of the ball with the Chiefs being as healthy as they've been now for the second week in a row. You hope with some fresh legs that they can get some pressure on Palmer, and then you can get some maybe some coverage sacks as well to where you can get back there and do some good things.
Oakland comes into this game playing with confidence. Here's a nice bootleg throw. They had a great chance to beat the Atlanta Falcons in the Georgia Dome, and this would have been one of the bigger upsets in the NFL this season. And then they come back and get a game maybe they shouldn't have won against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the game you're alluding to. But this is still a Raiders team that, as we mentioned, can hit you in the back third of your defense, but they will come in with some confidence. I mean, just look at what they've done in the last 2 weeks. The Chiefs will have to play well to win this game. Your thoughts of a confident Oakland team coming to Arrowhead where they've won five straight times?
Well, you know, why wouldn't they be when they have won five straight times and they win the game last week and felt like they could have gotten the Atlanta game, so they have been doing some good things. You bring up an interesting point, and we talked about it earlier in terms of the bootleg pass. That's something the Chiefs really have to defend. And, again, watching the game, Oakland did that at least one time a quarter in this last game and had a lot of success with it. And sometimes those bootlegs really open up and they can be big plays and they can really come at the wrong time. So that's a big thing that I think we have to defend from the Chiefs' side of the ball. And quite honestly, I think it's something from the Chiefs' offensive side of the ball that could do them well as well, because I felt like Jacksonville did that to Oakland as well this last week.
When we come back, again, it's Brady week, it's Raiders week, and it's J-Wig week. Just win a game. When we come back after the break, I'm going to show you where the cage matches in this game will be that will probably determine the contest. We'll take a look at that when we return.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
Come home. Charles is going to go. See you later.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you know three things matter. One, being at Arrowhead. Two, rocking your red on Sunday. And three, tailgating. This fall, I'll be out and about around Arrowhead Stadium with the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on KCChiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
The atmosphere at Arrowhead is amazing. I consider it a 12th man, you know, for us players, particularly on third down, and they keep the mood going in the game. They're there, and they keep us, they put us in a certain mood. Once we hear them getting loud, we get excited because we want to make a play for them.
Third down and nine, Raiders at the Kansas City 40, in the pocket. He sends it near side, it's going to be intercepted! Intercepted in the near flat by Javier Arenas!
Welcome back to Chiefs Live. Yes, it is Raiders week. It's Brady week, and it's J-Wig week. Just win a game, all right? Lenny Dawson didn't like the Raiders. I guess and Mike Webster didn't either. Daron Cherry sure didn't. Bobby Bell didn't. Montana, yeah, heck no. And Casey Wolf for sure doesn't. Tony DiPardo. No. The late Tony DiPardo did not like the Raiders, nor do we like the Raiders, but that's okay. It's just time to win at home against these guys. Five straight Raider wins at Arrowhead. That just seems unimaginable to me. Now, there's a couple cage matches in this game I want to get into. So we can go to Ultimate Fighting Challenge. One of them we alluded to earlier, but let's get into it more. And that is the Chiefs offensive line against the Raiders defensive line.
Yep.
Most notably two cats in the middle, Tommy Kelly and Richard Seymour. The last couple of years since Seymour has been a Raider, they have hurt Kansas City in the defensive line to the point where the Chiefs can't get this done and try to get big chunk runs.
Well, you're right. And those two guys at 6'6", 300 and 6'6", 310, when you got those two guys inside, they make a difference. They get up the field. Now, what I see done to them a lot in watching film is sometimes you're like, okay, the guy's big. He's going to get upfield. Let him get upfield and let's wham block him. Let's hit him from the side. Make him wonder where the block's coming from. So now when he does beat somebody, he's like, wait a minute, did I really beat him or did they let me beat him because somebody's coming to hit me from one side or the other? That's how you defend a guy like that. I'm bad. You know, I played against the Raiders too many times, but it's always been an organization. If you can get on them early, they will shut it down a little bit. And I think that would be huge if the Chiefs can play from a lead, which again, we haven't had this year and we need to get going. If they can play from a lead, they can make a difference. But again, the thing we're talking about, offensive line against their defensive line, those two middle guys are the ones that make a difference.
And we saw Jamal Charles, he gets a week to get his legs underneath him, had a chance to go to the Kansas Speedway. He was tweeting out that he was there in the pit crew. So
I saw
all good, just freshen everything up and try to get some runs. But when you look at this Oakland defense, they don't allow big runs. They've only allowed 15, 10 plus runs. That's ninth in the National Football League, and whether it's Jamal or somebody else, they need to get something like this to happen. For this Chiefs team where it is right now, and to help Brady Quinn set up a play-action game, they've got to get some big plays using number 25. So hopefully the fresh legs will help him this week against the Oakland Raiders. And the other part of the cage match we'll get into in a second, but let's flip over to the other side of the ball, and that is what Kansas City defensively needs to do against the Oakland Raiders. We mentioned they're not running the ball like they have in the past. McFadden's kind of been in and out of injuries. But what do they do to prevent the big play here, getting to the back third of your defense?
You know what, I think you've got to get into the receivers. You can't give them clean takes off the line. You've got to get into them, get your hands in there, maybe play either cover one or cover two over the top. Give your guys a little help over the top. But the big thing is you've got to get pressure on the QB. If you do not get pressure on the QB, you're going to have an issue, because I don't care who it is in the league. If a QB can stand back there and he has time to survey things and has 3.5-4 seconds, he's going to find somebody that's going to be open. So Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, they have to put some pressure on the QB. To me, that's where it's got to get done.
See the rushing yards. They are next to last in the league at 77%. They are tied for last in the league in big runs, and they're last in the league, and only 34% of their runs gain four or more yards. That's one of the differentiating points in the NFL. You always look at that 4.0 average. Now, you ready for my second cage match in this battle?
I'm ready.
And it has been a huge part of the five-game losing streak at Arrowhead Stadium. You rarely think of kickers and punters getting in the cage and fighting it out. But I think
this week,
it's what you've got. Your thoughts on the Leckler Janikowski Seabass battle against Suckup and Colquitt.
Well, you know what? As you watch Dustin here doing what he's done best this year, pinning people inside the 20-yard line, he's got 16. I want to say that that's rather 13 out of his 16. I want to say that's second in the league, doing a great job. You know, you had the one ball return for a touchdown against them, which hurt the net, yet his net is back up over 40 yards, so doing some great things. Now, Leckler, on the other hand, he does have five inside the 20, which you and I were surprised at when we looked at that, because Leckler, he's going to kick the ball. I mean, he's just going to kick it as far and as hard as he can, and for the longest time, that's all that guys looked at when they looked at the Pro Bowl voting in terms of what you're doing. They just looked at that average. But it's the net average that makes a difference. How far do you pin the offense of the opposition back to where they have to come out there? I keep saying it. The opposition, the offense that the Chiefs are playing, they need binoculars to see the end zone right now. So that's a big thing. Seabass, you know what? He's done it for a long time. He's going to continue to do it if you give him a chance. So you've got to make sure and keep him from having a chance. But Suckup has only missed one kick this year also. So he's done some good things as well, certainly going 6-for-6 against New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So he's a weapon as well. He can go from the 50 to 55 range. So that's huge. But I think the big thing, to take it down even further from kicker and punter, I think it's the punter side of things and where you pin them, and you give the other team a long field to work with offensively. That, to me, will make the difference this game.
And too many times we've not only seen Seabass hammer long field goals at Arrowhead, I chronicled them before the break, but also Leckler shifting the field. It looks like, you know, Colquitt would have him backed up. Boom, he gets like a 70-yard right. punt, and the field totally flips. Now, one other point I want to bring up before we close is the Chiefs, the way they're playing right now, have got to be better in the red zone and the gold zone. Let's just take when they get inside the 20, this is the interception against Tampa Bay. This was huge because it would have given them a lead, but thinking, well, at least a 3-0 lead. Well, not just 3-7s. Kansas City right now in the red zone, we're going to show you some numbers, and they're frightening actually, but we've got to bring it up. 1.58 yards per play in the red zone, by far last in the league. The league average is 2.93. Look at this. Inside the 30, 24%, but 27% inside the 20. That's the red zone. The league average, Kendall, is 53%. Zeros have got to become sevens. Zeros have got to become threes, but even more so, threes have got to become sevens. They fumbled twice at the one-yard line. If this season is going to flip, the red zone plays have to be there. When you've been around good red zone teams, this was going to be an emphasis of Brian Daboll going all the way back to July the 26th in St. Joe. What has to happen to be good in the red zone?
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting you bring that up because it is glaring, and we heard Brady Quinn talk about it. He talked about it. He goes, turnovers are never good. Turnovers are never good. You can't have them. But the fact is you really can't have them inside the 30, because if you're only getting a field goal or you're getting nothing as opposed to seven, well, then that makes it hard to win, quite honestly. I mean, he was just pretty blunt with it, and I think that's huge. You never want turnovers. But when you feel like you've got three or seven coming, that's just deflating as well. That's something that has to change eventually. Because, again, I'm going to say it this week like I said it last week, and I guess I was wrong because we did play even ball. But we can't turn the ball over. We've got to play even or better to win this game, in my opinion.
And eliminate the penalties. Kansas City is sixth in the league, actually, in fewest penalties. It's when they've happened, because that one, the offensive pass interference, may have taken the Baltimore game and made it a win into a loss. All right. It's Raiders week, it's Brady week, and it's J-Wig week. Just win a game. It's time. It's Raiders week, brother. Go. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live. Stay hooked up all week long on kcchiefs.com to get you ready to break the streak at Arrowhead.